Welcome to Comics,
episode 224. This week, we talk about
Secret War.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now,
the cast begins.
Trade paperback sale because Comic-Con, and so they were doing buy two get one free, so I bought all six of the first trade paperbacks of World's Finest, the one with Power Girl and Huntress, like the Helena Wayne Earth 2 Huntress.
Yeah.
And then I also bought the first three trades of the Batwoman run by J.H. Williams III.
How come you didn't tell me that there was a sale going on?
I don't know, it was plastered all over my I saw it a bunch. I figured you would have known.
You're not a good friend.
No, I don't tell you about these sales. Okay, David, when I don't tell you about these sales, you tell me, oh, why didn't you tell me? When I tell you about these sales, you go, oh, Andy, are you just trying to make me spend money?
That's correct.
There's really no win situation for me here.
That's correct.
Okay, so long as you recognize it.
Yes.
Yeah, so I got like nine. Yeah, I got nine.
Ugh. You know how many I got last week?
Huh.
None.
You could always go to the comic store and buy some.
I probably will tomorrow since I didn't pick up my comics last week.
And
I can't wait till Wednesday.
Last week I also went and I changed like all of my singles pull lists to trade paperback pulls because I just realized like I'm going to buy these and they're just going to go in a long box and they're never going to see the light of day again probably until I have to get rid of them.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of thinking about that. Maybe I should just be getting the Star Wars in trades.
Yeah. Because the trades at least will sit on your shelf and look kind of cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I already have a lot of Star Wars trades that they would look really handsome next to.
Yeah, and if it's on a shelf, you're way more likely to grab it and read it again in the lifetime versus if you have to pull it out of a box, grab the five like issues that you want to read of the run, take them out of the plastic bag, read them, put it back. Like it's good for preserving the run, but it's such a pain for going back and rereading. It's like not efficient or useful. And a trade, you don't have to worry about it getting fucked up. It doesn't like maintain value or whatever.
Yeah.
Not that comics do anymore.
Exactly. I mean, in my mind, I would be like, oh no, precious comic, but it's not as if I would sell them or anything.
Yeah. You can always just reorder half of these for half of what you paid in the store.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have like hardly any that are worth more than what they were on the shelf.
Yeah, you know, I especially comics since like the big boom in the early 90s, like comics just aren't collectible in the way they used to be, which is fine. I was never in it to like make a profit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll go in and I'll make a point to buy a cool variant cover for something that I like, or if a cover really grabs me, I'll pick it up. But
yeah,
really, I mean, the other day I was picked up Swords of Sorrow number 3, which is a big crossover event with all of the like all of the cheesecakey heroes like Vampirella, Red Sonja, who else? You know, like all the action adventure boobs. But the entire run is all written by different female writers and all done by female artists. So it's like a post-feminist adventure chick kind of a thing. And the first two, I made a point to grab the pulp cover art. Like the old pulp novel style.
Yeah, yeah.
And the third one, I forgot to go back and grab it. And I was like, oh, I kind of want to go to the store and pick it up. And then I was like, no, I'm going to be a little bit disappointed for like a week. And then I'm going to put it in a box and forgot that I ever missed that one.
Yep. Can I ask you a question, Andy?
Yeah.
Did you consciously say action adventure boobs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what half of those characters are. They're just action adventure boobs.
Mm.
Don't discount their butts.
That's true. Red Sonja's got a fine... Okay.
Vampirella, there's not much holding that butt up in the air.
No.
Yeah.
Vampirella, I don't know. Vampirella doesn't really do much for me. The horror genre, like, I never understood the blending of sex with the cheeky horror genre. I don't know. I never got that. Yeah, I'm glad you got that. I don't know. I just never understood that blending.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's cool. Well,
yeah.
So you mentioned Comic-Con. That's why apparently Barnes & Noble had a sale. So this is the Monday after Comic-Con. Yes. None of us went, as far as I know. But there were a bunch of trailers that came out today. Well, only two were released officially, I think. That would be Batman vs. Superman, which came out over the weekend. And then apparently Suicide Squad was leaked, so Warner Brothers officially released it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leaked.
Yeah.
If you could see me talking, it would be italicized. So I watched both. Did you guys watch both of them?
I watched the Batman vs. Superman one.
What did you think of that? Arjen, sorry.
Oh, I've seen neither. That's all.
Okay.
I was super underwhelmed.
Yeah, you know, I was just kind of whelmed about it. I found the little snippets of Lex Luthor to be interesting.
Yeah, with hair.
Yeah, well, you know, he had hair in the first Christopher Reeve movie, so.
And
you know.
His hair, he did have hair pre-Crisis on Infinite Earths. He did have hair for a while.
Yeah.
And the incident where he lost his hair is part of the reason why he has a grudge with Superman. And his previous grudge, like, was legit. Like, he had a grudge against Superman for things that Superman had done to him. Whereas in the new one, it's just about, like, his own ego. It's a totally internal drive.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that he has changed very much as a character. So, I mean, I'll be kind of interested to see what they do. I was super underwhelmed because it was just like the whole premise of the trailer was we need to explain why these two people are fighting. We need to give it a context. Why would these two heroes be fighting? Okay. Now that we've established that, let's throw a bunch of punches and throw in Wonder Woman with no explanation or dialogue whatsoever.
Well, so here's the thing I do agree with you on some of those points. I think I tend to be very optimistic about these kinds of things. So I'm excited to see them. I'll say that. So what I found kind of neat about it was at the beginning of the trailer where they show Bruce Wayne running towards the collapsing building.
Yeah.
It shows like some laser beams or something shooting out of the building, right?
Yeah.
So I saw online somebody cut that scene together with a scene from Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And where Zod is shooting his eye lasers inside a building. So apparently it's supposed to be the same scene, I guess.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of neat. They're saying that, okay, there's immediate repercussions from
all of the destruction in Man of Steel.
And so apparently that is part of the reason why everybody's mad at Superman initially.
Yeah, because they also open it with all of this aliens go home kind of a thing. Earth is for humans.
There's the senator.
Yeah.
But there were some, I thought there were some cool Easter eggs, I guess you could call them.
Yeah.
Like the haha jokes on you, Batman, written on the Robin costume.
Yes.
Which was pretty sweet. And, you know, who knows? I mean, there's the part where Batman is like in his like desert action version of the costume.
Yeah.
And the soldiers are like pinning him down. Well, what's cool, what I thought is interesting about that is the soldiers all have a Superman logo on their shoulder.
I didn't catch that before.
Yeah. So I think it'll be, we'll see. I hope it's good. I want it to be good. So until, you know, it's going to be innocent until proven guilty for me. I actually think Ben Affleck looks pretty good as Bruce
Wayne.
Yeah, I
do. That was one of the things I was most skeptical about, but I really did think Ben Affleck looked good as Batman and looked good as Bruce Wayne. And like just surface level, he looks like he could do it.
And there's a part in the trailer where Batman does the Dark Knight Returns pose.
Yeah.
And, the Batman logo on the bat signal is the one from Dark Knight Returns also. Mm-hmm. So it looks like they're going to borrow heavily from that.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like I said, I'm hopeful that it'll be good.
Yeah. It's, I think it would be really cool for them to build that continuity, but On the one hand, it feels like, okay, they're trying to do what Marvel's doing and build this movie continuity. And I figure, fuck it, why not? I really, really do like DC characters. But when I'm watching this, the whole tone and feel and vibe just comes off as 10 years ago.
Well, so here's the thing.
It comes off as dated. I don't know. Like, in a world where there's Guardians of the Galaxy, this feels old.
Here's the thing. I don't really buy that argument that much. I mean, yes, they're trying to do what Marvel's doing, but I don't see that as a bad thing.
No, I think that's okay. I don't think it's a bad thing either. I just, after I watched this, my first reaction was, could you please just put that effort into making another TV show? Like, instead of having a movie arm, could you start a Booster Gold show, please? I mean, I know that's greedy of me, but, and I know they're already doing Legends of Tomorrow and Supergirl, but it's like, Arrow and Flash fucking knocked, and Flash had a good trailer at Comic-Con too, with fucking Jay Garrick and Killer Frost in it, and looked fucking sick.
Yeah.
And Flash is killing it. And Arrow, I mean, Arrow's kind of a known commodity now, but it's still good, and they're rolling into season 4, and they're pulling out more crazy, crazy shit. And I'm just sitting here thinking, if you get 8 seasons of Arrow under your belt, and you get 8 seasons of Flash, and you're building off the, like, dozen seasons of Smallville, like, suddenly you have a TV franchise rivaling fucking Star Trek.
Like, yeah, but see, but you could, I think you can flip that argument, right? Because Marvel is trying to do what, you could say Marvel's trying to do what DC is doing. Because they have this TV franchise going now. I mean, with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which connects to Avengers, and Daredevil, which references yeah. Avengers. And Daredevil's really good, and frankly, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of meh.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But nobody's saying that Marvel shouldn't do those things.
No.
Because DC already has good TV shows.
I mean, it's just more, you know? Like, for both of these companies, it's just more.
Here's the thing.
If it makes money, they're going to do it. Like, whatever. Of course.
And I love seeing my favorite characters on the screen.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? I'm not going to shit all over this movie before it even comes out. If it's going to be bad, I will say that it's a bad movie. But if I enjoy the movie, then and Warner Brothers and DC decide to keep cranking them out, as long as they're not complete hot garbage, then I will continue to watch them.
Yeah, as long as they're not Wolverine Origins, we're fine.
Yeah. The Wolverine was actually pretty decent.
I know, that's one I still need to watch. And I do still need to watch Daredevil, too. Daredevil's hard, though, because I showed the trailer for Daredevil to my wife, and she was like, nah, too dark, not feeling it.
Dude, it's good. Watch it by yourself.
We're from similar planes that we don't like dark stuff. We think you can have complex, interesting storylines and not have it be super gritty.
But doesn't Mitali like lawyer procedurals?
Yes.
It's a good 50% lawyer-y stuff.
I know. That's why I've been trying to sell it. I'm going to give it another try later this week.
I don't even think it's dark. It like has a grim like vibe in the trailers, but it's kind of lighthearted in a lot of it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Trailers sell stuff one way. Like, that's always the thing with trailers. They try to nail the vibe to get you, ooh.
Foggy calls them avocados at law. it's not gritty in like a Lobo comic, you know, or something like, or like Punisher.
Yeah,
you know?
Punisher is super not what we're going for.
It looks gritty because it's street level.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of dudes punching each other.
Yeah, and there's not superpowers.
To people flying around shooting laser beams.
Yeah.
So I think you need to give it a try.
I know. I want to. It's hard, but it's hard to find the time to carve out without my wife watching with me.
Just get her to watch the first episode.
I know, but we have so much Clone Wars to watch too. There's so many God, things.
It's not going anywhere, Andy.
And MASH. We need to watch MASH.
Okay, you can watch Daredevil first.
You're 30 years late on MASH. Okay, so speaking of the gritty, I think we should mention Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch it. What'd you think? Does it look good?
You know, I was very like, oh my God, this. Why are they jumping right into Suicide Squad? And and people were like, How's Jared Leto gonna do another, you know, top Heath Ledger's Joker? So the movie, you don't get a lot because it's a trailer, but it looks pretty decent. I thought so. Jared Leto is in it for like 15 seconds as Joker, And, you know, we've been seeing these pictures of this tattooed Joker for like months, and people are like, oh my God, why does he have tattoos? He, you know, the 10 seconds he's on screen, he's a pretty decent as a Joker. He doesn't try to do anybody else's Joker. He's trying to be his own Joker, which is, you know, I think it was pretty okay. And so here's the thing. So Will Smith is Deadshot, right?
Yes.
And,
which I like. You know,
I like Will Smith a lot. So take this, you know, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way. I guess maybe it is kind of it's kind of a negative thing to say, but Will Smith is kind of playing Will Smith in it. But at the same time, we only get him like for a few seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, well, going back to Joker, that's the great thing about playing Joker is he's a super malleable character. Like if you think about the animated Batman Joker versus the Jack Nicholson Joker versus the Heath Ledger Joker versus the comics Joker, like Joker's super malleable as a character. So I people say like, oh my God, why does he have tattoos? And I'm like, whatever.
It's Joker. And so you get a little flash on the screen that looks like we're gonna get Harley's origin story.
Ooh,
which is kind of cool. All
right.
We get
Catman.
There's no Catman. There is a scene where with Batman in it. So Batman is in the movie.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool, I think. Who else do we get? You see Killer Croc. He doesn't say anything. You see El Diablo. He doesn't say anything. There's Katana. She looks pretty cool. Nice. It's like the new 52 costume, which I'm okay with.
Okay.
Captain Boomerang.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
He's very Australian, which is pretty cool.
Rogues in character canon.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. What's cool, I think about, so like I said, Will Smith seems to be kind of playing Will Smith.
Yeah.
But Jared Leto and I forget the actress who's playing Harley Quinn. It seems like they are really like channeling these characters. They're really cool. Trying to be these characters and not be themselves, you know.
Nice.
Which, you know, I think if I had to say. If I had to pick between the two trailers, I'd say I'm more excited about Suicide Squad than.
Sounds like it.
Than Batman Superman. So, but what's cool about it is it's like, here's the bad guys playing good guys. Oh, and so Viola Davis is playing, Amanda Waller. She seems pretty badass.
All right. I don't know who that is.
Oh, Viola Davis. She's an actor.
Well, I figured.
She looks like a good mix between like the Wall Amanda Waller and the Amanda Waller in like Arrow. She's like a good middle ground between the two.
Okay.
But she's pretty badass. Like there's a military guy who asks her, how do you expect to keep them in control? And she goes, it's my job to get people to do what they don't want to do or something like that.
Amanda Waller.
She seems pretty badass.
We need to read some fucking Amanda Waller comic.
We should do some Checkmate or something, you know?
Yeah, that's a good call. I'm going to put that to the shortlist right now. I'm going to just do that.
So anyways, there's also like, there's a cell phone capture of the X-Men Apocalypse one. I tried to watch it and I just got annoyed because you see like half the screen. So I have I had no comment on that.
That's not worth it at all.
But,
I'm avoiding the Star Wars Force Awakens behind the scenes thing.
Yeah. I haven't watched any Star Wars things. I don't want to watch it. I just want to watch the movie when it comes out.
Yes. Okay.
Although
Midnight screening, right?
Yeah. Okay. There was a cool picture of the, I saw some pictures of the toys, like the first order TIE Fighter looks pretty cool.
Yeah, and they made a first order Black Series already as an SDCC exclusive. For now, I'm sure it'll be a non-exclusive in a couple months.
It's just like, hey, people, you can buy one now, and it's going to have a sticker on the front.
Special silvery sticker.
Yeah. All right. So anyways, sorry to like listeners to go on and on about these trailers, but I thought they were pretty cool, and it's, you know. I think it's relevant to discuss, but you guys, Andy and Jen, you guys should watch the trailers.
All right, I will. Let's talk about this week's comic now.
Yeah.
This week's comic.
So I'm fine having buffered a lot in the beginning because I don't have a ton to say about this comic.
You know what? After I finished reading it, I thought my first thought was, man, that was short.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after reading the first two Secret Wars series, which were
12 issues and then 9 issues with lots of text all over both of them.
This one was 5, and it's from 2004, so it's kind of like the modern style without so much exposition.
Yeah. 2-page spreads, stuff like that.
Yeah. So it felt really short compared to the other two, and yeah. So I mean, what did you guys think?
I'll tell you honestly, as soon as I opened this, I was like, ah, shit, no. I hate this art style with a burning passion. I don't know what it is. And I know Brian Michael Bendis really likes it because he uses it in other stuff. Like, he used it in, never mind. I'm thinking of Greg Rucka. Never mind. I don't know. This art style, I just don't like. I feel like it's so muted, and because it's like so, it's less crisp, people are less recognizable. There's no texture to the color except what's added with the shadows. Like, there's no vibrancy to this page. I open and I go, oh, all right.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I didn't love it. There were some cool things. I like how they kind of handled Daredevil's, how Daredevil sees. I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah.
But that was like 2 or 3 panels.
Yeah, and the whole thing. Like, the epitome of it for me was Wolverine on the airplane when he's drunk. I was like, really? That's Logan? Really?
Well, here's the...
He looks like a scrawny, like, 16-year-old kid.
And, Wolverine, I thought he couldn't get drunk.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was, like, his thing, too. I thought that's why he always drank beer, because fuck it.
Yeah, so I didn't love it.
Maybe if he's really pounding them down. But I don't know. I always thought he was like Flash. He's just immune to it because of his biology.
Yeah. And he just looks... Wolverine doesn't seem like... He's not a goofy character, and he was very goofy, as like you said, particularly on the airplane.
Yeah. And then because... I'm just going to continue railing. Because this like art style is like textured with shadow, it makes me see everything in like a metaphorically darker light too. Like when S.H.I.E.L.D. is interrogating, what's the guy? Killer Shrike.
Yeah.
They're interrogating him, it's like they're slamming his face into the desk. And I'm just like, okay, S.H.I.E.L.D. just tortures people now, like, cause they're not the federal government. They can just do that. When in reality, like any procedural you watch, they'll slam the head into the desk. It seems to be a relatively common practice for law officials to do that in shows and in media, but when I saw it in this, I was like,
Well, I think they're certainly trying to paint S.H.I.E.L.D. in a bad light in this comic. Yeah. Or if not S.H.I.E.L.D. as a whole, at least Nick Fury.
Yeah.
So my main issue with this comic is that it didn't make sense to me in that if you're going to send a covert operation into a foreign country where no one knows that you did it, yet you're somehow doing it to send a really big message, but you're only having one person actually do anything, why go like all the way to the bedroom of the prime minister or whatever the heck her role is?
Yeah.
To have one person start an earthquake that kills everybody and then not claim responsibility for it. Like, the plan didn't make sense to me. There were so many other ways. Why call all
the heroes just to cover it up so that nobody knew the heroes were there?
Yeah. And then if, like, your big plan was to destroy the capital of Latveria, why fight up to the palace? Like, and then, like, they kill the woman and she comes back as a cyborg. Did I miss something? Did we miss when she was killed and then cyborg reincarnated, or did that just happen?
That just happened. We never saw her be killed until the flashback.
I think the implication was they buried her in rubble, left her for dead, and then she used all of her funding and technology stuff with the Tinkerer to become cyborg and then come back. But,
yeah, it felt like, on the very, very, very surface, an okay idea, and then the minute you start, like, asking any questions, it was like, why did any of this happen? Why was this necessary? And it seems just like a good way to set up Nick Fury to be out and about doing his own, you know, maverick thing. I don't know.
Yeah, just put Seismic Girl on a plane, have her fly over Latveria, you go pew pew on the palace, and you're done.
Well, so, you know, I feel like you guys are kind of shitting on Daisy Johnson a little bit here.
She's like her.
No, she was fine.
She's actually a really cool character. And, you know Skye from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's this character.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the exact same, origin story, but Skye is supposed to be, well, she is Daisy. I guess I haven't watched the episode, but, you know, I read the internet. So I knew that it's revealed that Skye's real name is Daisy Johnson.
Okay. No, I like Daisy Johnson. I thought she was cool and badass.
No, she's fine. I'm shitting on Nick Fury because he's supposed to be a tactical genius and he has this cockamamie scheme that makes no sense.
Well, he wanted to do like, yeah. He wanted to like scare people.
But keep it a secret.
But then also, I don't know. It didn't make sense.
Yeah, I just... And then, I just didn't like this.
You know, I did like the art. I will say that.
Yeah?
Like, I had issues. I didn't even recognize Wolverine on the plane until someone, like, named
called
him
Wolverine.
But I liked... I don't know. I just look at it and I feel like there's a lot of rich detail there, and it would have worked for a different comic a lot better. But, you know, like, it's pretty. It looks nice to me.
Yeah, I agree with Jen. I think the art style is good, but I don't think it really works well in this comic. That's my cop-out.
I just, as a whole, do not like this art style. And there's instances where I think something like this could work, but then it needs to be even more in this direction, kind of like what was the comic? Arkham Asylum that we read way back when?
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of in this similar style, but super more shadows and super darker. But it's kind of like, it's kind of a further extrapolation on a similar style to this. And I feel like for that, it works. Like, when you want to have those shadows and that depth, but there's so much bright fighting in this. It felt like take Alex Ross and put it in Photoshop and add a shadow filter.
So, what actually... This is, sometimes we talk about, you know, like how the comic is actually put together. And I think this is the issue. The word bubbles, they're all tied together, like just grouped, you know, there's a lot of linked word bubbles, but they look so cartoony, like with this really clear black outline and clear lettering, which works in pretty much any standard comic that you see being published today or in the past decade, but it almost looks like someone took someone's like nice paintings and then stuck them in a meme generator and filled in text. It's very disparate, the layout from the art. Right. And I think, you know, art like this could work in something very super serious where you have like Superman contemplating what it is to be a god and fighting people, you know, that kind of stuff, or Daredevil having an existential crisis in Hell's Kitchen. But when you layer it with like quippy writing and these really cartoony word bubbles, I think it detracts from the art. And so this is a case where I think like just basic comic formatting could have been done better.
Yeah, you might be right. That might be another thing that I didn't like about it. Because every time there was like a wall of text, it super stood out. Probably because of the contrast. Like issue 5, oh my god. I was just like, Nick Fury, shut up. I get it. I know what you did. It's still, as much as your LMD talks, it still doesn't make sense, Nick. Like, you can talk for 3 more pages. I'm not gonna, no, this was dumb, Nick. issue 5 bug. Cause it was just, issue 4 was like all action, one big fight scene. Issue 5 was like 3 pages of fight scene and then like 18 pages of Nick Fury talking and explaining what happened in the last 4 issues, even though one of them was all just fighting. And all of it, by the time he's explaining it, you put it together. Like, you don't need to explain it. I got it, Nick. It's fine. And I know you have to explain it to the heroes, but I don't know how many times did Captain America tell Nick Fury to hurry up and say what he did to them?
Captain America was clearly the voice of the audience here.
Yeah. Like, tell them what you did. Tell them. They deserve to know. Yes, they do. I don't care. Just skip it. Do one of those things where you start the monologue and then there's like a black panel and then you end the monologue and everybody's filled in.
Oh, in issue 5, also the interrogation or debriefing between Maria Hill and Daisy Johnson. That was kind of like, you both need to calm down. Well, I don't know. There was something about that. Like, I don't view, like, Maria is assertive, but I don't view her as being, like, mouth foamy aggressive like she was here.
Mouth foamy aggressive.
Well, it's funny. Nice. She tends to be this way in the comics, which she is not in any of the movies, which I think is very interesting.
It's just, I feel like every time we've read her in previous comics, I never walked away being like, wow, you seem really mad that this kid has a higher clearance than you. And
okay.
There was just like some degree of, I don't know, it didn't seem like the right characterization.
Let me lay this out for you. Maria Hill, when Nick Fury is her boss, is like she is in the movies. When Nick Fury, because he does this from time to time, leaves S.H.I.E.L.D. and leaves Maria Hill in charge, either because he gets discharged, he covertly leaves, he fakes his death, whatever he does, and Maria Hill is in charge, the thing that makes Maria Hill mouth foamy, crazy, angry, is putting up with all of the shit that Nick Fury dumped on her.
Yeah, like,
that's what makes her mess.
Yeah.
Like, the thing she's pissed about here is, who the fuck are you, and why the fuck do you have higher clearance than me? God fucking damn it, Nick. And, by the way, why the fuck did Nick do this? Like, Maria Hill, I think, is the voice of the audience. Like, what the fuck was the point of this, other than introducing Daisy Johnson?
Yeah.
See, this makes sense. Like, I totally respect her having that viewpoint. I think it's just the writing, to me personally, didn't convey it, and she came off as catty instead of, like, you know, righteously aggrieved.
I can see that, because I think that's what Daisy Johnson was trying to push her into, was yeah. trying to push her buttons into making her catty. Which, I mean, if you, just, Daisy, just give the whole ship just a little tremor. And everybody will run out of the room. It'll be fine.
Man, it was interesting, too, that when the heroes who actually went over to Latveria were informed that they had been brainwashed, like, the plot necessitated that everyone was there to see it. I don't know what to make of that. Like, it's not harmful. There's nothing bad about that. But it's just the coincidental, like, the Fantastic Four is there. All of the X-Men are there this time. Cyclops is like, did you do this to me too? You know?
Well, I mean, the Fantastic Four makes sense because they're in New York and they're fighting in New York. But, it struck me as weird when the X-Men just showed up. Because, like, earlier in issue 4, somebody shows up to try and fight Wolverine, and then it's just forgotten. And then when it's time for Nick Fury to spill it, Wolverine and the X-Men just show up and, like, yeah, we handle that bitch, whatevs. And now we're here. What happened? It was very just like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Wolverine. Let me see if I can just bring him over real quick.
Yeah. You know, like, the whole thing, I don't know if you guys watch Game of Thrones.
Yes.
But, like, the whole Captain America Nick Fury thing in front of everybody totally reminded me of, like, the mean nun yelling at Cersei, being like, confess!
Shame.
Confess. Shame.
Shame.
Shame. Like, it just gave me, like, it was an almost comedic vibe because at this point it was so absurd that we don't know what's happening and nobody does. And even when Nick Fury explains it, nobody knows what's happening.
Well, nobody knows why. It's the same thing. Maybe I'm not clandestine enough to understand. I mean, that could be it. I don't know.
Yeah,
we're not super spies, so we just don't know, guys. I think that's is what it comes down to.
I will say my biggest takeaway from this comic was that I need to read more Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man's pretty great.
I've realized whenever Spider-Man shows up in stuff, I like him. I liked him in Secret Wars. I liked him in Secret Wars 2, and now I like him in Secret War. Like, I feel like I need to read more Spider-Man in my life. He's quippy and fun.
Yeah.
I like him. That's my main takeaway from here, is that I need to read a different comic.
I want to see him and Daredevil team up more and have their conversations, because they were great together.
Yeah, because he's a good jokester, and Daredevil is the perfect straight man.
Well, see, I think that's a good thing, because, you know, it's selling comics.
Yeah. No, yeah. It is, and I like them together, and I like Matt Murdock, like, why the fuck is he in my apartment? And you know Matt Murdock timed it perfectly so that when he came through the window and made Spider-Man shoot at the milk, like, he timed it right as he was taking a gulp. You know he timed it to scare him.
And then he's just, like, nice when Spider-Man spit takes the milk everywhere. That was my favorite scene in this whole thing. That was the point at which the characters felt the most real.
Yeah, and because they were both feeling the same thing of, like, why the fuck do we even have secret identities now? Like, everybody fucking knows at this point. Like, yeah. They both had that same moment together.
Should we talk about the villains?
Sure. What did you have to say about them?
Well, I just think it's weird that they're all somehow involved in this and no one knows what the fuck's happening.
Yeah, and I thought it was really weird that Stiltman wasn't there.
Yeah.
He could have been in the background. You might have just missed it because you could only see his legs or something.
Maybe. And like all of the Iron Man villains. I don't know. Maybe I didn't recognize them. So many of these are like super B-listers.
Well, I think that was the idea too. And then like also the fact that they were supposed to be pretty sad. I mean, like Scorcher, who knows who that is?
Yeah, I got nothing. And there was like a lady, Dr. Rock.
Yes, apparently.
Oh, all the quips about, like, some version of a goblin. Like, you're a goblin-type villain. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he's like, MJ wants me home. I don't want to come across Hobgoblin, this goblin, that goblin. And God forgive you if your name is Osborn. I'm so tired of Osborns.
This is a completely legitimate, like, line of thought on his part. Because he has to deal with so many goblin people. On a daily basis. Yeah, I felt like this was a comic in which Spider-Man really was the star and was never intended to be. And it was very strange that usually this happens when you have actors, right? Like someone just like carries the movie away when they shouldn't have.
Yeah, when they steal the show.
Yeah, Spider-Man really stole it this time for me. And it wasn't his comic at all.
See, but this one is because this whole comic is coming off as shades of dark and shady and underhanded. And fucking Peter Parker is the only guy who is bright and kind of fun and lighthearted. And he stands out so much in it compared to everybody else in this comic.
Yeah, I mean, well, considering the content, did you guys think the tone was appropriate?
Yeah. I mean, this is what I think this is what they were going for.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, I feel like I'm really pulling at straws trying to find something to say more than, I don't get it.
No, me too. I don't know. I feel like they nailed the vibe that they were going for, but I also feel like, I don't know, this whole thing, and, like, Nick Fury has this thing in the beginning after he goes to the president and the cabinet and he says they are going to blink and they are going to follow rules of diplomacy that no one else plays by. And maybe this is just because I watched like a ton of Star Trek, but I don't understand how that's necessarily bad. Like, sure, people are going to die. Probably. Like, but Nick, you don't know what they're going to do. You don't know what the plan is. You don't know particularly how Tinkerer is involved. You don't know for sure that the Baron's involved. I mean, you have a little bit of evidence that's circumstantial. And really, what's the worst thing that happens with America being on the high horse? Like, I just don't see the huge downside in trying to be diplomatic. And
what's
They keep throwing the politicians under the bus, and I'm like, okay, some people might die, or you can bust ass into Latveria, brainwash motherfucking people, and destroy their Capitol building. I don't know why you're better, Nick. I don't know where you get off being on your high horse.
So you actually brought up something really that had been nagging me. And so in the documents in the back, Nick Fury, or the president and Maria Hill are talking.
I was so tired of reading text bubbles, I just skipped those.
He's basically like, Maria Hill, I want you to be Merkin. And she's like, Merka. But I mean, she's like not as bad as the president wants her to be. But so S.H.I.E.L.D. works for the U.N., right? Mm-hmm. And Nick Fury feels that there's going to be an act of domestic or an act of terrorism against the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And the president's all mad because Nick Fury's not Merkin enough. And he's working like for the world. Except Nick Fury goes into Latveria, commits an act of terrorism, and I don't know if he just destroyed the Capitol. Or the Capitol building. It seems like he killed a lot of innocent people, like leveled the Capitol, possibly.
And yeah, that seems like it's why all the superheroes were so pissed off.
Yeah, because he didn't just, like, kill the villains. He murdered civilians. And yeah. So he committed an act of terrorism against a nation that is newly joined the UN, it seems, in order to favor America. And then people are complaining that Nick Fury doesn't favor America enough, like in the text at the end. I don't know, like, there's something very... I don't know what the message is supposed to be when Nick Fury tries so hard to justify what he did, and it's almost like the narrative is saying he's right because, you know, he gets away with it in the end, and it's clear he's going to be okay, but he commits an act of terrorism to prevent an act of terrorism that hasn't happened that he thinks might happen. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, I mean, I kind of tried to put this in context. I mean, this came out in 2004, I think. So only a couple of years after 9/11. So I was thinking maybe it's still like that whole terrorism thing and what links do you have to go to in order to stop terrorism and what's okay and what's not. And I mean, this would have sparked that conversation then, but now reading it 10 years removed, it's kind of just like, you're not better than they are if you do this. And you're like, you're throwing the politicians under the bus for not doing anything, but I think they were right.
Yeah. Like,
I got the notion that the whole reason there was an attack at all was because Nick Fury stuck his nose where it didn't belong.
Oh, the, when What's-Her-Face came back as robot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole reason for that was because of that. But
I don't know, it just bothered me that he's allowed to give this whole long-winded speech about how one day they'll know he was right, and...
Well, that's kind of Nick Fury's deal.
Yeah. I did have a question, and it's about Latveria. It was originally, like, supposed to be kind of representative of one of the Eastern Bloc countries, right?
Right.
Like, apparently, it turned Islam. Like,
it did?
Did you catch that? Like, Black Widow had to wear a burqa.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think... I think she was just calling it a burqa, because Latveria is Dr. Doom's country.
The
country
is...
He wouldn't let them be any other religion other than Doom.
Yeah, but this is what I'm, like, it struck me as very post 9/11 because there was suddenly this correlation. Like, it moved from being a Cold War corollary to a Middle East corollary.
Yeah.
In the implications and people saying things about an oppressed populace. Just like the kind of language. I wish I had a quote up so that I didn't sound like I was talking out my ass.
Yeah, no, Black Widow mentioned something about calling these people, like, repressed and everything. But
and I mean, yeah,
you're right. Like, before this, every time when I think of how people dress in Latveria, like, they look like they dress like Romanis, like gypsies, to use the derogatory term. Like, they don't seem particularly repressed in their dress. I don't know. They don't just seem like Eastern Bloc, maybe covered up in wintertime, like an old Eastern European granny kind of a thing, like with a headscarf.
Yeah.
But not like a burqa. I didn't feel that vibe before
She seemed
this.
Dressed clearly in, like, I guess, Middle Eastern clothing, and it just didn't seem Latveria to me. And I understand, like, as times change, you need to change your allegorical countries up a bit.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, at the same time, I think Latveria is a very clearly a certain kind of place.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's very doomy, and to change it...
Yeah, I feel like if they would be decreed that there's anything they had to wear, it would be, like, doom green hoods.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just a case of somebody taking artistic license.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Because clearly, I mean, doom is doom. Doom is.
But isn't he not? And this isn't, like... Didn't they oust him and they put in a prime minister? But
yeah, I think he's
she's
just...
She's probably still really a vassal of Doom.
Doom Everybody. Will be.
Yeah.
There's always time for Doom.
Yeah, there's always time for Doom. You know what else there is time for? Ratings.
Yes.
Jen, why don't you go first?
Oh. I was more okay with this before I talked about it, but at the same time, I will say I hardcore fell asleep while reading this.
Which
in
is
a really
the highest
bad way.
Praise you can give.
Like I just passed out on my couch, and it wasn't because I was tired. I'm gonna give this a 1.5. I did like the art. I think that although it didn't quite fit the tone of the comic, that felt more like an issue with how the lettering was done. Which it's very good lettering. I'm not saying that. It just the two did not work together. Hmm. The story made no sense to me. And I feel bad saying that. I really, really hate taking a comic where I feel like there should have been something I liked about it and then crapping all over it. But man, I just, the more I think about it, the more holes I see in the plot that I just cannot address or even make it. I like to make excuses for things and I can't here. It just, seemed like a mouth spew of things about terrorism that didn't make sense and a cockamamie scheme that didn't make sense and the whole thing did not make sense. So 1.5.
Okay. I'm emboldened by your 1.5. I was like going to give this a 2, but I kind of secretly wanted to give it a 1. So I'm actually going to give it a 1. And I know it's probably because as soon as I opened this, I realized it wasn't an art style that I liked. So I probably colored it in my head in a way that I was setting myself up not to enjoy it. But I mean, that happens. And our reviews are totally subjective all the time. We don't have any like list of criteria for objective rating or anything. But for me, it was just like, I was kind of going along with it up until issue 3. And then we get issue 4, and issue 4 is one big fight. And issue 5 is Nick Fury, like explaining his actions. But his like, all the big reveals, all the stuff that he explained to the heroes was stuff that I had already put together, so it wasn't a big deal. And then by the time he got to the end of the explanation, his reasoning for it was just, cause it needed to happen? Cause she was gonna become a terrorist? Like, no, I think she became worse. I mean, she probably was funding people secretly, but I would rather take out a dozen Scorchers than deal with her all cyborged up, super crazy. Like, Scorchers, low rent. Spider-Man can take him out in like 30 minutes, it's no big deal. Like, dance with the devil, you know. So it didn't make sense for Nick Fury to escalate this. And his explanation and his rationalization didn't satisfy me as to why he did it. So the whole premise for the thing is like, I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't like the art. And my main takeaway is that I need to read more Spider-Man, which I think is not what they wanted at all. Like, this wasn't supposed to sell Spider-Man comics. So I'm going to give it a 1. How about you, David?
I'm just gonna stick with my. I was gonna give it a 2, and I'm gonna stick with 2. It was below average. I mean, it wasn't great. So I don't really have much else to say about it. It just wasn't very good. It was pretty. I was kind of disappointed, and it will just be in my memory as that comic that. Beginning of Marvel Ultimate Alliance was based on.
Yeah. Right, that's fair. That's a 2.
Yeah, it wasn't that good. And like I said at the very beginning, it was over too soon. And like, it was about talking. It was mostly just talking. It wasn't good. Don't read it. I mean, if you want to read it, but it's not that great.
Well, if you're still listening, then we're going to reward you with some quotes.
Quotes.
This week's quotes is brought to you by Patreon. Patreon.com/welcome to comics. Go there. Become a patron today. And tell us what to do. Tell us what we need to read next. Tell us what we need to do next, like quotes, trivia, fight night. You're in control. If you're a patron, just send us a message and we will do things for you. So long as they are not sexual. So the way quotes works is, each one of us will get read a quote from the comic. We have to identify the speaker by name, if the speaker had a name, and in what context the quote was said. If you get either one right, you get a point. And if you get them both right, you get 3 points. And I think we're going to have David go first. Lay it on me, David.
Oh, am I giving it to you, Andy?
Yeah, you are.
All right, hold on. Let me, okay. The quote is, "He is gnashing his teeth together and probably doesn't even know he's doing it."
That is Daredevil when he's in the room with Luke Cage and Nick Fury is walking up after Luke's been beaten up, and Nick Fury is going to come into the room and talk to them in the hospital.
So you're going to only get 1 point for this?
No!
You are very, very close. It is, in fact, Daredevil, and he is, in fact, talking about Nick Fury, but the scene takes place in the law offices of Nelson and Murdoch.
Oh, damn it. I thought for sure it was in the hospital.
So 1 point for Andy.
Yeah, I'm way behind already.
Sorry.
It's okay. Jen, you got one for David?
Yes. Okay. It's, "I've got enough problems without everyone knowing my name."
Oh, man. I feel pretty strongly that that's Spider-Man or Peter Parker. But, oh, no, it's not. It's Diamondback talking to Scorcher when Scorcher calls him Debbie when they attack Daredevil and Spider-Man's there.
Nailed it.
Boom.
Oh.
I almost just like jumped to the obvious, but then I remembered that part where Scorcher calls Diamondback Debbie, and she's like, "Dude, what are you doing?"
All right, I had an easy one and a hard one, but because I'm falling so far behind, Jen, you're gonna get the hard one.
Okay.
The easy one was, for curiosity's sake, "Hey, any of you guys hungry? When we're done, let's hit a Denny's." That okay. was the easy one. Pretty sure you can guess that one. The hard one is, "What's my name?"
Oh, I know that one.
Who the fuck says that?
No, good. I feel less bad because David immediately said, "I know that one."
Well, the only reason I know that one is because, well, if I say it again,
I'll tell you
later.
I mean, I brought this upon myself. I read these out of order and I fell asleep in the middle. So I did my research very poorly.
It's fine. Even if you get 0 points, you're still ahead of me.
Oh, what's my name? What's my No, I give up. I can't. I don't know.
Sure?
I'm sure I do.
Take a stab in the dark with the character.
What's my name?
Said angrily. I tried to evoke tone without waking up my wife.
Is it Ben Grimm in the battle in issue 4?
Okay, that's 0 points.
Okay. Was it?
It's fine, you're still second. It was Luke Cage when he's hitting up the drug dealer.
Oh.
In a flashback from before they left to Latveria. Because remember in the first issue, he talks to the kids about not doing the drug guy and how they need to stay away from that guy and how, don't worry, it's a thing, like it's done. Because he's mentioned in issue 1, and then later on in the flashback, you see him go to the basketball court and tell the dude not to deal it. And say, "What's my name?" "Luke Cage." I'm like, "Yeah, get the fuck out."
Yeah, I remember now. I forgot that he was in the comic because he was kind of asleep the whole time.
So the only reason I knew that one is because it's on the page immediately following the page where my quote is.
All right. So the scores that we have, I know we used to have a score computer. where you guys would like hear the scores, listeners. But that's a pain in the butt to edit, so I'm just going to read them off now. David's got 6 points. Jen has 3. And I have 2. I'm so far behind David. I thought quotes was going to be my thing, but no. Well, that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to start a new two-part series. We're going to read, for our two-parter, we're going to read Doctor Strange and Doctor Fate. We're going to compare the mystic doctors from DC and Marvel. We're going to start off with Doctor Strange. We're going to read The Oath. It's 5 issues from 2006 by Brian K. Vaughan. It's collected into a trade. The second one, we're going to do Doctor Fate. I'm still trying to decide between two of them. There's one written by Keith Giffen and Jam DeMatteis, two of my favorite comic book creators, but it was never collected into a trade. And the one that was collected into trade is Countdown to Mystery. It's an 8-issue run from 2008 by Steve Gerber. And it spins out of Day of Vengeance. So we might need to do some background before we go into it. I'm not sure which one we're going to do yet, listeners. By the time this podcast goes up, though, you will know which one it was. So next week, though, Doctor Strange, The Oath, 1-5. And then after that, we're going to do some Doctor Fatey thing. If you want to know what the Doctor Fatey thing is, when this comes up, you don't have to wait a whole nother week until next week. So I want to tell you, you can go to the website at www.welcometocomics.com. In the bottom left, there's a button that says Future Shows. You click on that. It'll tell you what we're doing next. And the weeks going after that, too. We're going to have, I think we'll probably have the next six weeks planned out up there. Maybe the next 10. Yeah, I think the next 10, actually. Wow. Planning. We're doing it. Shit.
We're doing it live?
Fuck it. We're doing it live. I got to take that off the top of my notes.
Yeah.
Every time I open up the notes. Fuck it. We're doing it live. We haven't banked an episode in so long. Professionalism. All right, that's it for this week, everybody. Until next week.